From Cape Crusaders to Living Dead, or posting in a forum thread with brand new tunes and talking pods, aliens and super gods.
Journeys into outer space, don't even have to see our face, just listen, read, or sing along on r.org and not.com. Our opinions are alright, if I had powers it'd be flight. Our Justice League fanboys who write is comprised of some nerds and a website.
Hello and welcome back to the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup. Episode 4 for the week of Wednesday, May the 1st. May 1st, Eltar fucking started yesterday. 1st of May. You guys, this is a Jonathan Colton song called 1st of May. About, it's the 1st of May, Outdoor Fucking starts today.
Right on.
It's an awesome song. And then I saw him perform a Safe for Work version at a fundraiser for the Kickstarter him and Greg Pak are doing, where they changed it to Outdoor Hugging because there was kids. And it's almost funnier that way.
I've never even heard of
Jonathan Colton? That's what I was playing when you came in.
Oh.
Well, look, Bender's here.
Hello.
Hi.
As you can hear, we're recording from my kitchen today and not from beautiful Alpha Comics. I will kill you. You don't get to be on this show. And not from beautiful Alpha Comics in Calgary at number... I forget the address already. But anyway.
6.
Number 6.
18th Street.
18th Street. Best shop in the world. Anyway, I am Joey G, and joining me across the table is Mr. Ryan Heff.
Hello.
And Mr. Robbie G.
Hello.
Robbie G's more at a right angle to me than actually across the table.
Yeah,
and Ryan really is more at like a 32 degree angle.
No, I know your angle.
That's why I said that.
Good.
All right.
Good. It's give credit where credit's due.
I did.
It's an obtuse angle, yeah. But I think I'm pretty acute.
Oh, shit.
You're retarded. That's really funny, Jeff.
That is adorable.
Math.
That's so math. Anyway, welcome to the show. The show where we discuss the newest releases of the week, or in this case, a couple of them, because Ryan and I didn't read that many comics this week. And Rob, I'm sure, will fill us in on some of the other stuff that we missed out on. And we have some fun and exciting news to discuss as well, or actually a lack thereof this week, but we have a few things I can bring up.
Fexciting.
Fexciting?
Fun and exciting. Fexciting.
Oh, because it sounds like feck.
Feck. That's feck, bro.
Like, feck you.
Oh.
Like an Irishman.
Oh, okay.
Like, feck you, you feckin' little fecker. Oh, Danny Boy.
You're ruining Lucky Charms.
I have an idea for a superhero. His name is Danny Boy, and he just fucking sings that song.
Just, that's his superpower, is he knows the words to Danny Boy?
Like, he's pretty, well, he's a good singer, too.
Oh, okay.
So the bad guy's
so
like...
So superhero...
It's like, stop, in the name of the law. Oh, what are you two if we don't, laddie? Oh, I'll show you. Oh, Danny Boy. And they all just cry so hard, because it's such a beautiful song. The pipes are calling.
This is the first time you've, like, had an idea to write a comic book about something that I've, like... I won't read that.
Did I tell you my last idea?
No.
For a, he's like a half-man, half-bee supervillain named Johnny B. Bad.
Oh, yeah, I think you did tell me that. See, I'd read the shit of that.
Yeah.
The Danny Boy? Fuck off. Like,
Danny Boy? Part
of my language. I cannot wait for Danny Boy to appear in the pages of Dial
drama.
H.
Oh, my God.
He would totally show up.
Danny Boy!
Everyone hold up your pick of the week so we don't spoil it.
We'll spoil it.
Oh, well, then I guess so much for that segue. Well, anyway, I guess we might as well get into it then. Get into the week's comics, right? That's what we should do, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Let's talk more about your shitty ideas that aren't going to get me.
No, I want to.
Wow, that's really nice of you to say, Rob. That's really great. Thanks. Well, let's kick things off.
At least I think I'm funny.
With a book that was great, but surprisingly wasn't my pick of the week. You'd think it would be because of whom is working on it. It's Hawkeye, number 10.
You'd think it'd be my pick of the week because it always is.
It's Matt Fraction with special guest artist, the best artist in comics, Francesco Francavilla.
Yeah.
And goddamn, does this book look good.
It looked beautiful.
Kind of like a bit of an origin for that clowny looking guy. I forget his name.
Clowny McTearface.
Yeah, exactly.
Kazi,
right, thank you.
That was close.
Yeah, but and like the art in this book, the layouts in this book are so fucking good.
I think the
it's all Kate Bishop and Kazi until the very end where Hawkeye is there again.
And then it shows...
But he's all stressed out.
It shows girls getting killed again.
I enjoyed how it ties itself together at the end, because at the very beginning, it was jumping in and around Kate Bishop talking to Kazi in New York, and then what ends up being Kazi's, like, genealogy and, like...
yeah, his origin.
His origin story. And so the first 5 or 6 pages, I was lost.
But really?
Not in a bad way, just in a, like, what?
And then
I kind of like, I know that this is going to make sense, but right now I'm just kind of enjoying... the
art
pages. Just the art. Like the explosion when he's like telling that girl that he loves her or something. Or I don't know.
I think I wish I had a Francesco page.
You do.
I'm going to say something.
I don't have a permission. I don't actually have, I want like an original page from one of these books, you know?
I'm going to say something that upsets you.
Do it.
I still prefer Dave Aja.
That's fine. I love Dave Aja. It's just, you know, I would prefer, I love me some Francesco.
Some Francesca.
I do really, really, really like Francesco. I do really, really, really like Francesco.
Yeah,
but
as well you should.
I very much prefer.
That's cool.
Especially on this book. I think it's mostly this book. Black Beetle, or is it Black Beetle?
Black Beetle,
is,
yeah.
I always think Blue Beetle, but that's
I didn't get the last issue of Black Beetle.
Really?
Wait, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One?
I took
three.
The one off the rack. That was probably 3 or 5.
Did I not get number 3 of Black Beetle?
Number 3 came out 2 weeks ago. Did you not get it?
I was in Hawaii.
I didn't get it either.
Am I the only one
Ryan
who got
it?
I'm the only
one. Ryan's the only one without
yeah.
a file, and he took
it.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
So...
I'll have to ask our good friend Mr. Chris at Alpha Comics to reorder.
Mr. Chris, you give good comics.
But yeah, I think Black Beetle is like an incredible book, and that's
yeah, totally.
Perfect for Frank Villa. I don't know if Hawkeye is.
This isn't my favorite issue
good.
Of Hawkeye, no,
yeah.
But it's pretty good.
But it's still pretty, yeah.
It was a great Fraction Frank Villa
mm-hmm.
issue,
joint.
But like Hawkeye, this isn't. This makes it sound like I didn't like it because I loved it. I thought it was
yeah.
a solid, solid, solid comic book. But why I love Hawkeye
mm-hmm.
is not this issue for different reasons. Usually, it's far more lighthearted and far
yeah.
funnier. And this was
it hasn't been the last couple
one.
Issues though. The last couple issues have been
yeah.
the girl
a turn
one.
From
the,
there.
No, the last one had like a tinge of sorrow at like the very end. Most of it is funny
yeah.
though.
And the one
most of
that
was
the hurricane, wasn't it?
And that was funny too.
Yeah,
I'm great at boats.
Yeah, like making. I was about to say making fun of a tragic thing, but
fuckers.
It was a lighthearted
yeah,
look
see,
at it. Something terrible to happen. But I think the main thing to remember is that of this issue of Hawkeye, which is not the greatest issue of Hawkeye, is still better than like 95%.
It's the best book Marvel
else.
Publishes, just not this
still,
week.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think I liked it best of all three of us, but yeah, it was
yeah.
pretty fun.
I still
loved
it. That was
I still, yeah, really liked it. I just.
Like the one page of Kazi shooting a hole
in the panel?
That glass,
oh, that's cool.
And then all the glasses shattering, and then in all the cracks of the glass, there's all these people running around.
Man, he's the best. Just so awesome.
He is pretty awesome.
As a side note, those Eggos smell delicious.
Is she making Eggos? We have Eggos? When did we get Eggos?
Eggos!
I don't know, maybe it's toast.
No, they look like Eggos.
Oh,
cool. They call those Eggos?
Oh,
you can
Eggos?
Say yes.
Eggos?
Lego, my
Eggos.
That's a
dude.
Special guest appearance by Brad of the Creatures, Nicole Grzecki.
Dude, Nicole is
Hello.
Making Eggos.
Cameo.
Yitsy,
yitsy.
I feel like...
They're cinnamon. Cinnamon flavored.
I think
really?
I think your wife is also high.
Better not be. She got a baby in her.
No.
Is that where you were just now? Just getting a baby in you?
And
you come
home? Everything was
just to rub it in his face? Look what I got in me.
Hey, you know what I got at the comic book store this week, boys?
A baby in you?
Mm. Other than that?
What?
I got me some tickets to the Calgary Horror Con 2013.
I saw you buy those.
Yeah, you guys didn't come? August 3rd and 4th?
No.
Down
maybe.
Hotel Blackfoot.
I don't know. When is it?
August
where
3rd and 4th, down at the Blackfoot. I just
say.
Fucking said both of those
where,
things.
Though?
You interrupted me telling you where and when it was to ask where and when it was.
When is it?
Where?
August 3rd and 4th.
You keep
at the Hotel
me.
Blackfoot.
I knew it the first time. I was just fucking with you.
I've been to
you...
the Blackfoot Hotel. So have you. We've been there before.
Where?
Yeah, so you guys go to secretly gay fuck.
No.
Secretly
we went
there
for our friend Garrett's birthday.
Oh, yeah, we did do that.
And then we were, like, swimming in the pool with the
that
cover
was
on.
The most dangerous
that's very
thing
dangerous.
That I've ever done in my
don't do that.
Life. Yeah.
You guys, that's not even funny.
Well, it's kind of funny that we
they
survived.
Had the cover on the pool
yeah.
and they were swimming in it.
Yeah.
And we were
that
drunk.
Is
so
dangerous.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
You guys are stupid assholes.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. This was like 7 years ago.
Okay, you
come
were
on.
Stupid asshole
fairness,
then, and now
we
you're
were
just
stupid
an
assholes.
Yeah, I'm not defending myself.
Okay, everyone needs to just chill out.
Hey, I lived. It's funny now to me.
And
don't
my point
do
is,
I said it was the dumbest thing. In fact, I introed it in by saying it was the dumbest thing that we've ever done.
Can I just,
I don't think
can I just tell you fuckers who's actually going to be there and we can all just
yes.
shut the fuck up?
What, under the
at the Calgary HorrorCon.
When is that?
August 3rd and 4th at the Hotel Blackfoot.
Yeah, there you go.
Hotel
see?
California.
Living it up at the Hotel Blackfoot. You can swim inside
living
the pool,
it
but you
up
cannot
at
ever
the
leave.
Hotel Blackfoot. August 3rd and 4th.
Oh, so now you know when it was. Dickhole. Okay, there are our 10 guests thus far announced. We're going to start in reverse order. Nat Jones, who is also at the Calgary Comic Con. He's an
what
artist.
Does he mean in, what do you mean in reverse order?
I'm starting from the bottom of the list and going up, because the bigger names are at the top.
Oh.
So it's like we're working our way up. But Nat Jones is the artist from 68, and he did some Spawn.
I have a 68 issue.
And he's done some Rob Zombie comics and what have you. He's pretty awesome. Then we got Dave Trainer, who is a special effects makeup and prop builder, who did movies like Blade 2, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, Passchendaele, which isn't really a horror movie.
I was scared.
Oh, it was a horrific occurrence.
Yeah, it was like a war movie, right?
It was, yeah.
The
it was a good
Canadian
movie.
World War II.
I know a guy who worked on that movie.
I know some people who were in that movie.
Oh,
I
well then.
Constance Hall, who I guess is the makeup and the special effects and star of Monster Man, which I've never heard of, so never mind. Jessica Cameron, looks like a scream queen from some movies that I don't really know. Cleve Hall, also a special effects wizard and star of Monster Man. I don't know what that is. Bill Moseley, that's the first big one. Devil's Rejects,
yeah.
Army of Darkness, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. He was Chop Top. He's pretty great.
I know him from Devil's Rejects.
Michael Berryman. He's the big, like, the monster guy from the cover of The Hills Have Eyes, Part 1 and 2. He's in
the
Devil's
head,
Rejects.
Bald head.
Yeah,
he's in a great X-Files.
He's in Lords of Salem as well.
Isn't he in Big Fish?
He might be. I don't like
that. Yeah, he was Danny DeVito.
Then we have Tony Todd, who was the Candyman. He did appearances on, like, Next Gen and DS9. He did Hatchet, Wishmaster, and stuff like that. Patricia Tallman, who was on Babylon 5, next Star Trek, Knight Riders, Night of the Living Dead, 1990, and Army of Darkness. I think she's the girl from Army of Darkness.
1990 was when the Useless remake began.
The 1990 remake isn't actually that bad.
Oh, really?
1991 is the one that Tom Savini directed.
Oh,
it's
okay.
The 2006 one that's not very good. So, again, it's not as good as the original, but it's not bad. And last but not least, in fact, the one I'm most excited for, Tom Savini will be there. Special effects legend. He's been in movies like Dawn of the Dead, From Dusk Till Dawn, Planet Terror, Django Unchained. He has done the effects for some of the best movies ever, like Dawn of the Dead, Friday the 13th, things like that.
Well, didn't he... He did a lot of the Romero movies, right?
Yeah. And he was also in Zack and Mary Make a Porno as the guy who rents them out that place that gets destroyed and then runs away with their money. That part was originally supposed to be played by George Carlin, but they couldn't make the schedules work, so they got Tom Savini instead.
He wasn't dead at that time?
No.
When did Zack and Mary come out?
Before George Carlin died.
August 3rd.
August
3rd. It was like 2009 or
it was on Halloween of 2000-something,
2009, I think.
Yeah, I remember it came out on Halloween, because I went and saw it. Why'd you do that?
Rest in peace, bro!
You mean Jeff Hanneman from Slayer? Jeff Hanneman from Slayer died today.
So did the guy from Crisscross.
Which guy was Jeff?
Jeff Hanneman was the one guitar player. Not Kerry King.
The guy who wasn't Kerry King. Okay, the guy
so
who everyone forgets. Kerry King's not dead.
I thought Kerry King died.
No, Dimebag Darrell died.
I knew that.
The other guy from Slayer whose his name is escaping me.
Tony
Iommi?
Black Sabbath.
The other guy from Slayer left the band.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember which one.
I know the lead singer came out as a Catholic.
Yeah.
God hates us all, Rob. Just not the lead singer from Slayer.
He's also like a giant collector of Nazi memorabilia.
Yeah, he's
like
a weird guy.
Yeah, he's kind of a strange dude.
He has the whole Satan, God hates us all thing just because it sells records. Which I wonder what Slayer fans thought. I wonder, because I don't care.
I mean, here's the thing. I bet just the Slayer fans who were like under 30 were probably really bummed out. And all the rest of them were kind of like, you know, shit, of course, we know. We don't care. We know that... Nobody's actually like this.
I think he kind of went Westboro on everybody because, I mean, they say God hates us all too, right?
No, God hates fags.
Well, we're all
fag-enablers. God doesn't hate everybody.
We're all fag enablers. I hate saying that word. Ugh.
Enabler?
Enabler? No. You guys are terrible. No, fag. I hate
Why'd you
don't
say that?
Say it.
Cut
that.
I hate.
That's bullshit.
I hate
I'm
saying
not
going to
cut it out.
It's
disgusting.
Too much work. It just feels able.
Disgusting.
I agree.
I'm definitely guilty of saying it a lot, but
yeah,
it's
I don't ever say that.
This is nice to say like a sensitive side of Ryan.
I'm just a better person.
I love all people, and I think all people should be able to do whatever the hell they want. But I should be able to say what I want as well.
Fag.
That's fair.
I'm all in favor of dicks being sucked, regardless of who's doing the sucking.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or
like, you know how some people say "smoke them if you got them." I say "suck it if it's near you."
Suck it if it's present.
Because you'll never know if you like it until you try it. So, kids, if you're listening, go out and suck a dick.
You know, just to see.
And don't swim in the pool.
When the cover's on.
Don't
do it.
It's dumb.
Suck a dick next to it instead.
I shouldn't be here. I should.
I'm not even supposed to be here today. Neither of you should be.
Why?
Because it's a miracle. There is a God.
What?
You guys could have died.
We could
and
have
he
died.
Doesn't hate us all.
God is all is, you know, lukewarm
was like,
to Ryan and Rob.
You guys are such idiots. What
even,
a bummer for you to die this way. I'll let you live.
Even oh, more dangerous.
And then he killed a bunch of kids in Ethiopia just cause.
Yeah.
What a dickhole.
Because they had no food. So
God hates the
it.
Poor.
Even more dangerous? The next morning, we covered Rob in newspaper while he was sleeping.
Yeah,
do you
true.
Remember that?
That's not as dangerous.
Yeah, that was
really
PG.
Pretty,
that was a very PG thing.
I mean,
that was a very like children sleepover thing
well,
to do.
The newspaper was covered in AIDS.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's
you mean, like articles about the AIDS pandemic.
Yeah.
The newspaper was covering AIDS.
It was like newspapers from 1984. So. AIDS was huge. Then.
How did you get a hold of a newspaper from 1984? From 4 years before we were born, at a birthday that was like 18 years past.
I keep saying it. It's the library.
Blackfoot Inn. Oh, can I tell a story?
Why not?
Okay, so I work today. I was talking to the people, and like I'm the oldest person that works there, other than my manager. I have a job, by the way. It's cool. But so I was talking, and I said something about how my first TV was 9 inches. It was tiny, right? And I was like, "Yeah." And like, we'd never had the internet in my house till I was in grade 7 or 8. And this one girl's like, "How did you do homework in junior high without the internet?" I was like, "Well,
with
a
pen,
we read books, and then you use that to write on paper with a pen." And they were just like, oh my God. And I was like, holy shit, I just told a back in my day story.
You want
to
hear? I have a similar story. I was talking to Nicole's, their cousins. They're more like nieces to us, though, because they're like 8 and 10 or something. And I was telling them, they were talking about their computer, and I told them that my first computer, I showed them a picture of it. It was a Commodore 64, and I showed them a picture of it on my phone. I said, my old computer wasn't capable of displaying this picture of itself that I'm showing you on my phone.
And their brains explode? Just
well,
leak
Samantha
out of their
Samantha was
kind of
just like,
crying blood.
Samantha was kind of just like, okay. And then she wandered off, but Kiana, her mind was just blown. She was like, so like, you didn't have YouTube? I'm like, there was no YouTube.
Yeah.
When was the dawn of YouTube? That was only like 5 years ago.
No, longer than that. I can remember the first time I ever saw YouTube, Sean McGuigan, friend of the show, Sean McGuigan, he was showing me stupid videos of it, and that was probably in 2001?
2001?
Yeah.
I don't even remember YouTube.
We had broadband. You know, that's what I mean. Like, it wasn't huge. Because it was like this weird thing I'd never heard of. Because I remember he used to go to a website called stupidvideos.com, and then from there he started showing me
YouTube. E-Bombs World when I was in high school. E-Bombs World had funny videos. And like Homestar Runner.
Homestar Runner was the best.
You got it, cool guys. Well, Rob, why don't you hit us with a comic book?
All right.
Ow!
Back in my day, we called them
funny books.
Internet.
All in color for a dime, except for this one.
Yeah, this one.
Which was not a dime. And
the only
color
in it was on the front cover. And it was my favorite cover of the week, too. Because it's my favorite artist. It's so good. By Andy Diggle and Jock. It was snapshot number 4, the end of this 4-issue miniseries that's apparently been like 8 years in the making.
Yeah, I saw that. It was all right.
I loved it.
It was pretty good.
Really good.
I liked it a lot.
It was a cool little crime caper. I'm surprised you weren't more over the moon about it.
It was good. It was, I think it was a little, I don't know, maybe the ending was a wee bit of a letdown because it's not really all that bigger revelation. Like, the actual explanation isn't really all that big of a deal.
Well, it kind of already explained it in the 3rd issue.
Yeah, and the ending is a little anticlimactic, but
I didn't find it anticlimactic so much as I, it was kind of bleak.
Yeah,
it was a little sad.
The ending was a little over the top, maybe.
I didn't think it was over the top, but I did think that it was a huge bummer.
Maybe it's not that it was over the top. I think it was more just like very grim, very noir, which is, I guess that's actually a good thing. This was a noir, but the problem was the first 3 issues doesn't feel like a noir.
It feels like a crazy
action. It felt more like The Matrix or The Minority Report, and then when you get to the end, it was really just like a pretty simple noir.
Really? You thought that there was like supernatural elements?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily supernatural like The Matrix. Just like conspiracy. There's more things going on than you know about. More like The Minority Report or the or Enemy of the State, maybe is a better
State I can see.
If you take away the sci-fi elements of The Matrix and Minority Report, this book reminds me of it. But then the 4th issue is just pretty straight up noir.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Did you prefer Snapshot or Point of Impact?
Point of Impact,
really?
By about 1,000%.
Okay.
Oh my God, I disagree.
I really
Point of
Impact.
Yeah, no, I loved Point of
Impact.
Point
of Impact
just
had a
great
Scooby-Doo ending.
Point of Impact was totally just a great crime story. Where this one I don't know. It kind of fell apart at the end for me a little bit.
I didn't think it fell apart at all. I think it was really organic and happened really well.
I just thought the tonal shift at the F4 was like totally inconsistent with the rest of the book. Like it was a bit too dramatically of a shift.
I didn't find that because just today I reread the whole thing.
I read all four issues last
night. And I didn't find a shift in issue four
at all.
That's cool. I thought it was way less action packed. Like the issue three was that huge car chase and the revelation of what the little compound is used for and what all those people are hired to do and why all their pinkies are removed and all that's all the revelations. Though I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was kind of cool.
It was a little underwhelmed.
I still haven't read issue three.
I loved it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was good, but
Jock is amazing.
I mean, you bring up Point of Impact. I just thought that was a way more compelling story.
Yeah, I loved.
I think
I
this issue set up wrote a lot of checks that its finale couldn't really cash.
Yeah.
But it was the art was great. And like it's well written, the dialogue's good. Just
Point of Impact was cool. Just I loved the ending of Point of Impact because it was just
Impact.
What
I love Point of Impact. Jay Ferber is the man.
I just loved it. Like it was never too far up its own ass.
Yeah,
it was really really good. Snapshot of the first two issues.
There's nothing in this book that I found up its own ass.
No, I didn't think so either.
And I also enjoyed the conspiracy element and the conspiracy ending at the very end.
I think the payoff was a little disappointing.
I didn't find it. I liked it. I just found it sad.
A disappointing money shot.
I'm sad. That's the thing. Like I know the ending was supposed to be really grim and sad, but I didn't actually find it that sad. And I think part of the reason was throughout all four issues, I never actually liked the two main characters very much.
I loved them. I thought they were.
I just never found them either compelling or sympathetic. And a couple of the things he does, I was just like, why would he do that? They just didn't make sense to me.
Like,
well, like okay. He keeps going to the cops, first of all, which made no sense to me. And then the big one for me, because every time he went to the cop to get arrested and shot, eventually he'd be like, maybe I should stop doing that. No, but the big one for me, the big part for me that bugged me was when the girl calls him and he immediately is just like, yes, I totally want to meet you. The last, every time you try to go talk to someone about this, you get your shot at. The idea that this, another person has just called him, and like the last person who just called him on that phone was like, meet me at this location and I'll explain everything. And then he almost got killed. This girl's like, meet me at this location. I'll explain everything. And he's like, you got it. And I was like, he's not being very skeptical about this. He's going to get himself shot.
He meets her someplace public. And then that's already after the cops have fallen through for him.
No, that's
nothing
true.
Good has come of it. So something has to come of it because this guy's still chasing him down.
I'm
so
not saying that it was like that they were bad plot points. I'm just saying that a lot of them felt like they happened because they had to happen to get to the next thing.
Nah, you say that about a lot of stuff. But I
say that about things that I think that they're true.
Yeah, but I disagree.
That's okay, that's fine. You're more than welcome to.
I disagree with you both.
That's good.
I don't know about what. I just do what I do.
That's what he do.
That's what I do.
Yeah. So yeah, no. I probably give the whole series about a 3 out of 5, which just means I liked it.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm sorry. Okay. Cool.
My pop. That was loud. I'd talk about it, but I don't have any.
You know what? I don't either. Let's talk about some more news. Let's get into some news. So, there's a new Batman of Earth 2 coming out, and Earth 2 Annual coming out from next month. Is that exciting?
That the costume kind of reminds me of the Batman Beyond costume in a weird way.
Seriously, why would they even have a news article about this? Where the article says, next month there'll be a new character, DC isn't saying who it is. But he's a huge part of Earth 2. I'm like, alright, why is this a news article? New character premieres, no details. Alright, why don't we have this article next month when the character actually comes out? We have a cool Nicola Scott picture of Batman crashing through a window, though.
I did see that. The preview
was
kind of
cool.
It was kinda...
Yeah,
that's
in all the DC books.
I like that.
That's boring. All right, how about
really
this?
That book. I think that book is really good, and I think it's annoying that they keep throwing Batman and Wonder Woman at it, because I don't care. It's supposed to be about the Justice Society, and then, for the most part, they're just dressed like assholes.
Wonder Woman originally
Wonder Woman.
Was on the Justice Society.
Yeah, I know, but Wonder Woman and Batman and Superman are always portrayed as the holy trinity of the Justice League, and then in that universe, they're already dead. And then they just keep bringing it. They just keep coming back to it because they're trying to sell more books. And having Batman on the front of it is just unnecessary. And because the story that he's telling is fine without them.
Yeah, but no one's buying it. So I guess they kind of need people to buy it. That's why they put Batman in it. That's probably what's happening.
I don't know why I dropped. Oh, I dropped it when I dropped all my DC stuff because I spent too much money.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, some good news for Ryan here. J.J. Abrams says that John Williams will be back to score Star Wars Episode 7.
And if he didn't. That honestly could... That would ruin the movie more for me than, like, if Michael Bay had directed.
Well, they would have still used the theme, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
I, like, oh, the John Williams score is such a huge part of Star Wars. Huge part. So I'm pumped.
Yeah.
I still think that movie's going to be awesome.
And Kevin Feige, who last recently confirmed that Daredevil had been returned to Marvel Studios, but he's also said that doesn't mean that there'll be a movie anytime soon. Yeah. He says, it doesn't mean we're going to make another movie, it just means that we have them again, so...
And Ghost Rider, those rights went back as well.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
That's good.
So that's okay.
More movie news. Hugh Jackman is already, even though The Wolverine hasn't come out in theaters yet, he's already actually back in the role as production of X-Men Days of Future Past continues.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Huge cast on that movie.
Yeah.
Huge mutant cast.
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
It's the new X-Men movie.
Mm. Thanks.
Well, what do you mean? What do you want
to
know?
Like, is it like a sequel to First Class? Is it a sequel to Wolverine?
Well, I mean, it's First Class is part of the same series as they all are, right? Like, they all take place in the same series. This one is another one.
I think the way they explained it, though, is that, like, because First Class, there's, like, notable plot holes from First Class to the X-Men trilogy.
Is there, though?
There, like, is, and I can't get into specifics on that mic because it's been a while since I've seen it. But, like, there's just some weird things that you're like, okay. But, this whole thing, like, this is going to be a big time travel story.
Yeah.
So I think
it's the Days of Future Past story.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be, like, alternate future timeline.
It's one of Chris Claremont's best stories.
I don't know how close they're going to be with that, but I'm pretty sure Kitty Pryde's going to be a pretty central character, so that's cool.
Oh, cool. Are they going to get Ellen Page to play her? Is she actually playing her?
Yeah, yeah, like everybody. I don't think they've recast anybody. I think they brought
that's
all,
cool.
Like, Halle Berry's even in it.
Yeah, I saw that,
And Magneto and Professor X are both being played by two actors, like
young and new. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, and then last thing here I have from news, for movie news, actually second last, is Iron Man 3's international debut has come out, and I guess it's made over... Yeah, it's already surpassed Avengers for the international debut anyway.
Really?
Yeah, it beat the previous record holder of Transformers Dark Side of the Moon in China. That's big, yeah, whatever. Anyway, that's cool.
I've been seeing really good things about that. I think that movie looks awesome.
I actually don't think it looks that good, but I'm going to see it anyway. Well, from all the trailers I saw, I've been told that there have been more recent trailers that aren't as much, but the trailers I saw were really, like, grim and gritty.
Yeah.
And I was like, why do superhero movies have to be gritty?
It doesn't look
Can't
as
someone
fun,
just
man.
Make a happy superhero movie for Joey? Yeah. Just one. You can make 10 other ones that are all grim. But just give me
the biggest one was that.
Just give me a booster.
Avengers
gold.
Was that.
Even Avengers wasn't as happy as it could have been. I mean, it's still good.
I thought Avengers was like
it was cool, but
perfect bombastic. Like, I didn't think there was anything really dark or gritty about the Avengers.
Maybe not.
Maybe, like, well, just having the characters of Hawkeye and Black Widow being like they're just soldiers or agents or whatever. Yeah. That's like,
but they tell jokes
exactly.
All the time.
Yeah,
like, it was pretty lighthearted. It wasn't exactly very gritty.
Iron Man, I did get that vibe that it wouldn't be quite as fun as the Favreau movies.
Does it deal with a lot of his
alcoholism?
No,
I don't think
it does. Disney said they were staying away from that story.
Yeah,
which is fine.
Which they kind of touched on in
the second one.
They briefly touched on it. Yeah, and I didn't actually like the second one very much. I liked the first one a lot.
Everyone disliked the second one. I don't know why.
I really liked the second one.
I thought it's just not as good as the first.
A lot of people online said that they hated it.
Yeah,
I was confused.
Really? I didn't know.
Well, hyperbole runs wild.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Someone who reviewed Iron Man 3 said that it was like just a Shane Black movie with Iron Man that happened to be in it, and I was like, that sounds great. Just a
sounds
Black
fun
action movie that happens. To
yeah,
happen in.
I'd watch.
He's a good. He writes fun movies.
I'd watch Lethal Weapon with Iron Man in it. So.
Yeah.
You have. It's called Lethal Fucking Weapon. Mel Gibson is an Iron Man.
Mel Gibson's kind of a prick.
Since when?
Since
he started hating Jews.
Yeah.
What?
Well, anyway. And last news we have is there's some casting rumors swirling around about the Fantastic Four movie that the guy who made Chronicle is making, Josh Trank.
Mm-hmm.
So according to Deadline, girl star Allison Williams is on the short list for
which
The Invisible Woman.
Which one is she on Girls?
She's
the annoying girl?
Yeah, I think she's the bitchy one. I think she's the one with no redeeming value. I think she's the one who makes me want to put a brick in my teeth.
The one with no goals or talents, or and just vapidly and
I've watched
at least
one episode of Girls, and it was the dumbest fucking show I've ever seen.
It should just be called Celebrating Mediocrity. Like, I fucking hate that
show. It's just hipster Sex in the City. It's fucking, it just drove me
I don't like any of those three things.
Cities?
Sex or hipsters.
Or cities.
Sex.
Frightens me. Hipsters.
Sex with hipsters.
Even
is
worse.
That the third one? Because you said three.
Yeah, the city.
The big city?
Any city. Urban area. I live in the suburbs, so it hardly counts.
And I fucking hate Sarah Jessica Parker.
She thinks you're fantastic.
Yeah, she probably has nothing but good things to say about you.
Most people do.
And then, because what would be comic book news without controversy and fanboys being idiots, actor Michael B. Jordan from Chronicle and Friday Night Lights is in contention for the role of Johnny Storm. And they're like, but Johnny Storm's not a black guy. Like, well, he is in the movie, shut up.
Yeah, he's also not fucking real. Johnny Storm's a fictional goddamn character.
This is true.
Who gives a shit?
He's also on The Wire.
Who is he? Oh my god, is that Wallace? Oh my god, it's Wallace.
Can I see the picture?
Is that
Oh
Wallace?
My god. Oh my god, it's Wallace.
It is Wallace. This, my heart's breaking again.
I fucking cried my eyes out in season one.
Damn.
Fucking Wallace, man.
Bummer. Well,
he would be a great Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
He'd be a better Sue Storm.
Yeah. As an aside, Donald Glover for Spider-Man. I still think that'd be awesome.
Because you're right.
Yeah, Andrew Garfield is good, though. Do you want to talk about a couple of comic books there, Rob, that Ryan and I didn't read, and you can fill us in?
Fill us in, like...
This was a very light week.
I had a ton of books. I got, like, 15 books, but they're all DC, and no one wants to listen to that. The first one that I think is actually worth picking up... Well, okay, I'm going to talk about two that I think are worth picking up. One of them was Suicide Risk, which is the new ongoing series by Mike Carey, who writes The Unwritten. Oh my goodness. And illustrated by Elena Casagrande. So great illustrations. And it's a really cool book about what if... it's another take on, you know, superheroes in the modern world. But if a lot of people got their superpowers through, like, the black market, and then those... kind of people who got their superpowers through the black market were typically villains, what the reality of that would be. So most of the people who get superpowers in this universe are villains. Yeah. So the real heroes in the universe are the police and the fire department, and those are the people who actually have to handle villains. Okay. There's the occasional superhero, but as you see in this first issue, he gets his ass handed to him and he just fucking dies, because it's a huge... amalgam of all these villains just robbing shit and setting shit on fire and causing destruction and being the Joker. And there's a SWAT team that goes in, and the main character is one of the SWAT team members. He's just like a beat cop, basically. Yeah. He's not a SWAT team member anyway. But anyway, he gets caught up in this huge disaster because there's a lack of superheroes apart from real life heroes.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, no matter how hard they try, they can't quite compete with people who can shoot fire from their butt. Which, by the way, is my favorite villain in Suicide Risk number one.
I can do that.
That's an actual thing? That's
no, I kind of wish it did. Mike Carey.
I'm going to write a comic book. That has to have been done by, like, some...
somebody shoots fire in their butt? Yeah. What's the South Park
character? They eat out of their mouth and shit out their butt?
No, the talking taco who shits ice cream.
Oh, Magic.
Yeah.
Magic the Talking Taco.
I hear Taco in South Park and I think,
Jennifer Lopez! Henry from your face!
Anyway, it's a really, really strongly written first issue. You should definitely check it out.
That sounds really interesting.
It is really interesting. I think Joey would like it. I think you'd like it.
It's
pretty wordy. I don't know how... Well, you like The Unwritten.
Yeah.
It's fucking nothing like The Unwritten, but it's written with the same skill. And
I like The Unwritten
where there's, like,
Mike Carey is a...
Crime books are great.
Yeah, this is a crime book with supervillains.
Yeah.
Mike Carey's a great...
I think I read enough superhero books right now.
It seems to me like... it comes across more like if Mike Carey was writing a Garth Ennis plot. So it's written really... really well, really good prose and stuff like that, but it's not sick and twisted for the sake of being sick and twisted. He's really... He kind of steps back from that kind of stuff. Anyway. The other thing is another superhero book. Oh my god. I actually really like this book. The Movement, number one, by Gail Simone and Freddie Williams II.
I love Freddie Williams.
I love his work in this book. Freddie Williams is amazing, as was Gail Simone in this book. I thought this book was fantastic, actually. It's playing off the whole Occupy movement, and it's taking place in Coral City, where a lot of the... younger kids there with superpowers have taken the law into their own hands and have decided that the police and the one percenters or whatever and have no business in their city anymore, and they're going to police themselves. And they kind of start recruiting all these other teen heroes or misunderstood teens who like can't control themselves and then become villains as a result. And they basically like take over the city and just kick out all authority, and they're trying to become like a sovereign state. A sovereign nation. It's really cool, actually. And the art was fantastic. It was really like action-packed, crazy adventure in it.
It's cool.
I also loved that it was one of my favorite team books to come out of the new 52. So far, every one of the new 52 team books, like Justice League International, or Justice League America, and Dark, and all that stuff, it takes them 6 issues to introduce who your characters are and how they became a team. They've been a team for a long time. They're already well in their well into their powers. They know what they're capable of, and they know what they're setting out to do. It makes it really interesting. It also makes it really compelling because everybody has a voice already. They're not developing it. You're basically shown who these people are well into their career as a superhero.
That's interesting because, as far as I know, only two of these characters are not new.
Most of them are new, yeah.
Because I know two of them are older characters. Catharsis was from Nightfall and Batgirl, and the other character, Tremor, was from Secret Six before New 52.
Yeah, so there's Tremor, there's Catharsis, there's Virtue, and there's Mouse, who is the Prince of Rats.
So Virtue and Mouse are new.
Cool. And apparently most of the characters are going to be brand new. I kind of want way more new characters out of it. That's kind of what I was excited about for New 52 books. So I'm glad for a New 52 book to actually have something very new in it and really exciting. And then obviously it's also taking aim at the whole Anonymous movement with the Viva Vendetta masks. Instead, they have like these silver, almost Man with the Iron masks.
And they look like Psycho Mantis from Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah. Oh yeah. When you read this page, you had to take your controller out from
and plug it into the second slot.
Okay. Who in their right mind would have been able to beat that boss without using the internet at the time?
Well, because Psycho Mantis says, he actually makes a comment about putting the controller in the other slot. The problem is, when he says that, everyone's thinking, where's the controller in the room?
Yeah.
Like, he actually says
Doesn't
it.
Doesn't he say that, like, 10 minutes into the battle after you
If you take
like
long enough, yeah.
Eventually, it just goes, guys, here's
how he makes a comment about it, yeah. Which I think that was kind of cool, because
It was a clever way to beat a boss, but I only remember beating that boss because I went, well, fuck this, and I went online and figured out how to do it.
The only one that I didn't... I like those kind of things. There's one in that game that bothered me where, like, the code you needed was on the back of the box of the game.
Yeah.
But
fucked around for
you were
hours.
Confused. But the problem was, like, you needed to say it's on the back of the case. And I'm like, what case? And then I realized, wait, they mean the jewel case? I rented this. I don't have the jewel case.
They say on the back of the box, so you have in your inventory
a box. And you're looking at it, and then,
there's
like...
nothing. And then they literally mean the back of...
The screenshot on the back of the jewel case. But I had rented it, so I didn't have a fucking jewel case. I was so mad.
There was another boss like that in the third one, in Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater.
I quit after I hated two.
There was one in the Snake Eater where the only way that you can beat it is at the very beginning of the game, you're issued this, like, pill... That is like a feigned death pill or something at the very beginning, and then one of the bosses at the very end, and it's like a 20 plus hour game.
Yeah.
So you've long forgotten that thing is in your inventory because never have you had to use it. And every time you've tried to use it, like early on in the game, it doesn't do anything, and you're just like, nah, kid, I don't want to use that now. It's like, okay, you have to fight this boss that goes down an eternal like stream. You walk slowly against the current while this crazy haunt is like shooting shit at you, like in Conker's Bad Fur Day with the giant.
I am the great mighty Pooh.
But as you walk down, the only way to beat the boss is you have to let him kill you so that it goes to the game over screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's on the game over screen, instead of clicking continue or like quit, you have to go to your inventory and use this pill. That's like, it like feigns your death and they leave you alone.
See, that is an example of why I stopped playing those games.
And I
hated the end of 2 so much.
You played Arkham Asylum, right? Batman Arkham Asylum?
Yes.
Did you?
I didn't beat it, but I got pretty far. I got halfway through.
Towards the end, there's that part where basically the Joker beats you, and then it goes to the menu where he comes up and says something, and then it's like restart or exit to main menu, and you have to like restart it, and then it like does the whole intro to the game again. But it's like reversed. Like at the start of the game, Joker's getting transported to his cell, but then Batman's getting transported, and you're controlling the Joker. And it's like when I first did that, I was like, "Oh fuck, I died!" And I was like, "Well, how do I beat this?" And then I like kind of watched, and I was like, "Why is it sending me back to the start?" And then it's like, "Oh, okay,
that's kind of cool." Actually, I kind of want to go home and play that. Now.
In closing, so much I hate Metal Gear Solid. Other than the
Metal Gear Solid 4 is awesome.
I love Metal Gear Solid. I still haven't beaten Metal Gear Solid 4.
I beat that when you bought
it,
first day or the second day after you bought it.
Well, boys, I'm going to hit you up with a few more comic news stories, and then we can hit our picks and
comic
wrap up
news.
Early.
Cool.
So, At C2E2, which was last weekend, Dark Horse made a few announcements, and some of these are pretty cool. Tim Seeley's The Occultist is coming back.
Tim Seeley?
Tim Seeley. He did some previous Occultist books. They were pretty good. Art Franco are doing Itty Bitty Hellboy.
Sweet.
Art Balthazar and Franco, who did like Tiny Titans and Superman Family
and
Adventures,
doing,
and they're writing
Green Team.
The Green Team, yeah, exactly.
I don't know when that comes out, but I'm definitely going to check it out.
And then the third one, which I have some details on, is Donny Cates and Mark Resnicek are debuting a new book called Buzzkill, which sounds like it could be kind of entertaining. It's basically he's an alcoholic, but he's also an unstoppable superhero who derives his powers from imbibing massive amounts of alcohol.
Good.
So now he's decided it's time for him to get clean, and the supervillains of the city are very thrilled about this. So it sounds kind of entertaining. It's a four-part miniseries. Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. Again, like superheroes, but at least it's superheroes with like a weird kind of a twist to it.
And I like miniseries.
Yeah.
Because then I don't have to buy them forever.
Then the next announcement was Victor Gishler launching a new book called Witch Hunt. From Victor Gishler and Juan Ferreira, who did the art for Colder, which was fantastic.
Juan.
And so it's a new horror book, so it's a mixture of horror and action. According to Victor Gishler, Juan is going to murder your face with his art, so that's pretty cool.
It sounds
really cool. Like, so the basic premise sounds like is this. Cassian Steele is the boss of a werewolf mafia in the Big Easy, and he's got a problem. The old witch Verona.
Where's the Big Easy?
That's New Orleans. Who knows his secret has gone into hiding. Cassian wants her dead, so he sends out the word, an open contract. The first monster to dust Veronica gets a big payday. So we got, like, werewolf mobsters and voodoo wizards and zombie ninjas and all kinds of cool shit. Sounds like fun.
Hmm.
I'm going to pick it up. I like horror books, and I really like Gishler, so. The next one they announced, Dark Horse has obtained the license for Halo comics.
Hmm.
All the previous Halo comics were from Marvel, so now Dark Horse is taking over.
I didn't even know they made Halo comics.
Brian Bendis wrote them.
Really?
The first batch of them, yeah. The very first one was him and Mac. Him and David Mack.
Oh, what?
Really?
Oh, no, not even Mac. It was the other guy, Alex Malev.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Really?
And then
that?
The second one, I think, was Brian Reed did the second series. But
hmm.
And then Jeff Darrow's bringing back Shaolin Cowboy, which is awesome. I love Shaolin Cowboy.
I like Jeff Darrow.
Mignola and Figredo are doing a new Hellboy, the Midnight Circus
Figredo.
Miniseries, yeah. And the one that has me most excited, a book that I'm definitely getting, Alex DeCampi's Grindhouse. An 8-issue series comprised of 4 48-page stories. So this sounds just so cool. It's just like a B-movie comic masterpiece. Grindhouse, doors open at midnight. Covers
awesome.
By Francesco Francavillan. Francavillan. He's the
Francavillan.
Oh my god. It's excessive, gratuitous, and tasteless, just like I like it. So I love B-movies and grindhouse movies and exploitation films and stuff. And comics, so it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
It's just this giant orgy of things Joey loves.
Yeah. Like the stories in the arcs are called Prison Ship Antares, Bride of Blood, and Flesh Feast of the Devil Doll.
Beautiful.
Also, Bee Vixens, I think, is the first one.
Hmm.
Which is cool. I actually watched a B-movie not long ago called Invasion of the Bee Girls. And it was about these girls who get, like, possessed or taken over by these, like, bee monster things. And
you mean,
then
like,
they,
bee movies? Or
no,
like
buzzing
bees.
Bees.
Okay.
And they basically, they're hot chicks who have sex with guys until they die of exhaustion. And then they take over more women in the town. And so it was actually like it was a fun little B movie. It was good. The weird thing is the guy who wrote
fun
it.
Little B movie.
Yeah, yeah. The guy who wrote it went on to write Wrath of Khan.
Oh.
I was like, what? But
it's
yeah.
Like Peter Jackson doing his
Brain
movie,
Dead and
Brain
then going
Dead
on to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
yeah.
Brain Dead is awesome.
It is awesome.
I still have never seen
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So of all those, I would say I'm most excited for the Grindhouse anthology.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it. I saw it in theaters, and then I hadn't seen it since, and
I
watched
it
later. I really like the Hobbit. The more, like, the second time I watched it, I liked it way more.
It's
just so fun and silly and, like, childish.
I watched it again, on an airplane, and it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on a plane,
It's not nearly as, like, deep and heavy as Lord of the Rings can be.
No, not at all.
It
tried
it's
to be
fun.
A little bit, but it shouldn't.
Yeah.
But it was good. Well, let's wrap this shiznit up. Let's hit our favorites. Let's let Rob go first, because Ryan and I had the same favorite this week.
Oh, that's so cute.
We are pretty cute.
My favorite was Dial H number 12 from Trinamieville.
I really like this issue, too.
And Brian Boland cover. And the Brian Boland cover, I'm curious what the reaction would be to anyone who isn't reading this book and who just passed it on the shelf. and saw this image of a man in tights covered in pouches. And then mm-hmm. instead of wearing a cape, he's got a window frame around his face with two open...
With a curtain.
With two open windows and then a curtain cascading down with the imprint of just these like bright pink flowers. And he's like punching the air, and he's also just hovering in the air, suspended by all these creepy balloons with eerie faces on them. Like, it mm-hmm. looks like a fucking Insane Clown Posse video. It's such a weird cover.
Fucking comics, man. How do they work?
It just reminds me of Up. I don't know why.
If Up was like a sexually fetishistic movie.
If Up didn't crush my heart in the first 20 minutes, like, this is what it would be.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite Boland covers. Boland's covers for Dial H have been some of my favorite of his career. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got all of his Jack of Fables front covers, and they're really, really funny. Well, he's been doing covers for fucking ever. But, his covers for Dial H, like the one with the hound dog, the Bristol...
Yeah, I remember that one. That one was awesome.
It was so cool. The hound
dog
with
the
rocket ship on his back.
That's the cover of the first trade, isn't
it? The cover of the first trade is the cover of the first issue.
Maybe it's the second trade, I don't know.
It might be the second trade. I don't know if they solicited the second
trade. I still need
to
get the trade.
The first trade is so good. It's all the Matteo Santoloco stuff. So,
yeah.
And then Riccardo Bertielli does issue 0, which is in there. So none of the Alberto Ponticelli stuff shows up until issue 7.
I still like the Dave Latham stuff the best.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I like
I don't actually like Ponticelli very much.
Really?
Yeah. It's okay.
I like it more. I like him more on this book than I like Santoloco.
I like the way he draws some of the superheroes. I don't like the way he draws the main character. He makes him look like...
I love how he draws him. He's supposed to...
He doesn't just
look
fat. He looks like... I don't know. He looks like he's melting.
I love it. I think he's supposed to look pathetic, which is kind of...
I think he draws a little bit... I think his grotesquery goes so far that it just looks like shoddy.
It does kind of look a little iffy, but...
But, this one is introducing the Open Window Man and the Dial Bunch. So a bunch of these crazy dialers who have jumped through all these different parallel dimensions in order to find Melvin and the girl, who I always forget their name when I'm thinking about
Lucy.
Lucy! She looks like a Lucy. Anyway, my favorite panel in this whole book is Defenestration.
And knocked her up.
Is,
no big deal.
Is Defenestration Punch when Open Window Man shoots the caterpillar guy or whatever out the window. I thought that was really... I had to look up the word defenestration in order to make that joke make sense, but I thought it was really funny. It just means to throw stuff out a window.
That's
like,
amazing.
Defenestration is ultimately the act
this
of tossing
why English is so hard for people
out.
To learn. So
yeah.
So many fucking words.
He's tossing stuff out of a window. And then also when he describes his super team, they're the Team Adventitious, which is basically like they have no connection and they have no flow. They're just a bunch of random... The Junkyard Posse or the Dial Bunch. It's like all these dialed heroes that keep changing throughout the book. Mm-hmm. There's they're battling Fixer, and then they end up pushing a bunch of people through like parallel dimensions. Basically, it's like the most chaotic issue of this entire series. And one of my favorite... heroes in it, apart from Open Window Man, who can only exert his power when he can jump through a window. So he's basically like waiting for the whole book for the opportunity of someone to open up a window to get to. So Nelson ends up opening a window and he's like, finally, okay. And then he jumps through and then punches this guy in the face and then brings his super team along. And then they end up having to pull close this really cool portal that keeps that opens up into these alternate dimensions. Meanwhile, there's one character whose superpower is she's a statue bent at a 90 degree angle with a giant flat top head that's used as a doorstop, and that's her whole character. Ejad, she's just this cool statue that's like as a door jam. It was pretty fucking brilliant. And then also there's one little split second of a superhero called Captain Sand, which is just a guy with a pail on his head and a little shovel covered in sand, obviously. Like, it's my favorite book. This is my favorite book from DC, and this was one of my favorite issues so far. And I really love the fact that Alberto Ponticelli's on it. I've missed him ever since Frankenstein was...
I liked him more on that book.
I like him more on this book. I like his character designs. I've loved every single one of the heroes in this book.
Yeah, I liked all the heroes. I just don't like the way he draws them very much. Oh, well. All right, Ryan, let's say it together. 3, 2, 1.
Superior Spider-Man!
This is going to be controversial. Ryan Stegman on the art. Dan Slott written it down. It's a battle inside the mind of Peter Parker for control. Doc Ock versus Peter Parker. It's all in his head. It's a big old throwdown.
My favorite part was when all the villains show up.
That page was sweet.
I was thinking about how lucky a guy Ryan Stegman, or like how lucky he is to get an opportunity to just draw a page like that. It's probably every comic artist's dream.
Mm-hmm. Mysterio, Scorpion, oh yeah. Molten Man's in there, Electro, Lizard.
One of the Beatles.
What?
On the top left. Isn't that the Beetle?
Well, I mean, one of the Beatles.
Yeah,
like,
Paul McCartney. Ringo,
McCartney. Craven's in there. Sandman. Rhino. Kingpin. Chameleon. Mr. Negative. Oh, great stuff. And Green Goblin's up there, too. Yeah, it was a cool issue. But and at the end, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Doc Ock won again.
It was dark.
Yeah, the ending. I was just like, oh my goodness.
I'm excited to see how they end up...
How are they going to get out of this bucket of syrup?
Yep. Because you know they're going to eventually.
Yeah, I mean, of course they are. But
I think it could be like within the next issue, there's going to be something that he's changed as well. Going on the way that Slott's been writing it so far, there's a fake out at the end of every issue. So every absolute that you think is going to happen ends up having a little twist to it. So, like, even the last page, this seems pretty finite. Like, Peter Parker is no longer a part of his brain, and then, hey, he wins. So maybe even for a couple issues, it will just be Doc Ock there. But
Which I love Doc Ock Spider-Man.
I think it's really funny.
I think he's so... The way he talked, like, that... The evil genius speech that he uses when he's talking to people, like MJ and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I
well, plus we know that Carly has already started to suspect who it is.
Yeah.
Carly!
I think that could be a huge, huge tell as to where it's going. I just want to know where fucking Green Goblin went, because that was, like, five issues ago.
It's coming, I'm sure. It's going to be sweet.
Slott does that, but...
It's really good that this book comes out multiple times a month, because I think people would be having aneurysms by now if this was only, like, issue 3.
Mm-hmm. I think people have aneurysms already, because they can't separate the fact that this isn't... It's a book. it's a fucking book.
It's a book.
Like, how could you kill Peter Parker? Well, I wrote that.
I wrote it.
That's what
Peter
I did.
Peter Parker dies, fade.
Yeah.
End.
The end of Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for an abbreviated edition of the Comics Roundup. Next week, maybe there'll be more books out that we all bought.
I had a ton of books this week, but I don't want to talk about them.
Hopefully, I'm not in huge debt next week. I don't know. We'll see if I'll have comic books. But
we'll set up a charity auction.
I'm gonna make a Kickstarter. Do an
campaign.
Shitty habits and comic books.
Support his shitty habits. So, like, he always chews his fingernails. He never washes the dishes. He never flushes, in fact. It's really weird. It pisses all over the seat, in fact. It's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Gross.
Really.
Well, let's finish off with some plugs of some of the other shows we got going on. Rob and Charlie, our friends, is going to be showing up on the network this week again.
Cool.
We're going to be reposting episode 2, 3, and 4 until
they
record a new one. We have, of course, every Tuesday, the Bride of the Creature podcast.
Cool.
This Tuesday, it'll be Society, 1989 Society.
Society! You're singing a different song.
I'm singing Eddie Vedder. From the soundtrack to Into the Wild.
Neither of us were singing anything good, but I was singing Pennywise.
Which went up yesterday, if you're listening to this on Friday, episode 1 of the revamped Fireside Chat with Joey G went up, wherein we read excerpts from Joey's diary from when he was 10 years old.
I listened to the whole thing. You read them, and then Michael laughs at them. It was a good episode.
It's pretty fun.
I was going to listen to it, but I realized that we're not on iTunes yet. We should get on iTunes.
Oh yeah, we should probably do that. Mm-hmm. All right, maybe we'll get on iTunes by next week. But until next time,
also next week showing up the new podcast, Ryan.
Who wins Extreme
Rules? I can't
wait.
Just kidding. Extreme Rules is it's not. This weekend, it's
in
the next.
So in the next couple of weeks, you'll get another Boiler Room Brawl podcast as well.
So be ready.
I'm totally for you just having your own podcast
called Ryan.
But no, if it's called Ryan, and then the font just
gets
smaller, and then there's an ellipsis.
Ryan,
or just like fading confidence.
Ryan, picture of fading confidence.
For the record, the next Boiler Room Brawl will be contested under Ryback rules.
Yes,
I'm so happy I got
that.
Don't worry about it.
I think he just misspoke. Rye Heth rules.
So that's he does. So that's it for this week. So thanks for coming out. I'm Joey G.
I'm Ryan Heth.
I love you. Bye bye.
From Cape Crusaders to Living Dead, or posting in a forum thread with brand new tunes and talking pods, aliens and super gods.
Journeys into outer space, don't even have to see our face. Just listen, read, or sing along on r.org and not.com. Our opinions are alright. If I had powers, it'd be flight. Our Justice League, that noise you write, is comprised of some nerds and a web.